Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today. Another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to this journey together as we look to the Lord for His instruction, His illumination, and direction. That reminds me that I need to remind you that as we face the issues each day, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. You know, when it all boils down to the bottom line, what you think or say or what I think or say has no real value. Our philosophy and our dogma, our particular ideological bent has no real value when it comes to measuring that in light of the Word of God. It is God's Word that should be the final spokesman, the final spokesperson, the final word should be from the Word of God. Jesus considered the Word of God as being the source of truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a very dogmatic statement, if you want to call it that. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. It is not a matter that you can go to the Word of God and find a little tidbit of truth or a portion of truth. It's a matter that the Word of God is the totality of truth. Truth is a word that is not sought after today. The truth is not an issue that is viewed today as being valid. And each person seems to have his own facts, his own truth, his own basic ideological bent on what is truth. But the Word of God settles it once and for all. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about an issue today, crumbling foundations, our crumbling foundations. And as you listen to this broadcast today, let me urge you to get involved. You can do so, ask your questions, give your comments, give your insights. You may even disagree, that's fine. We'd like to hear from you. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That allows your call to get straight through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can have the dialogue and discussion together. As we think on the subject, ladies and gentlemen, our crumbling foundations, perhaps you've had the experience. Let me use a little illustration to get into the point of our crumbling foundations. Perhaps you've had the issue at some point in time or the experience at some point in time of dealing with cracking walls in your home. Now, from a contractor's background in construction of homes and buildings, I can identify with this perhaps better and more readily than you could. But if you build a new home, a brand new home, and you see 6 months, 9 months, 12 months later, maybe even 2 years later, you start to see cracks in the sheetrock joints, what is called nail poppings in the sheetrock where the nails of the screws start popping out, and you have to have those spackled and fixed. Or then you can go on the outside of the home. If it's a stucco shell, you would see the cracking lines in the stucco, and you think, no problem, we'll just have somebody come in and patch the stucco. Of course, it never matches, but anyway. Or perhaps you see the brick on the outside of the home, where in the mortar joints, you start seeing little zigzag cracks all the way up the side of the wall. And you can patch that. And that's what happens most of the time in most constructions today. There's the patching, the covering, the surface treatment of the fundamental problem. And the fundamental problem is that of the foundation. What causes these defects? The fundamental problem is the foundation is faulty. When a building is constructed, the most important part of that building is not the looks of it. It's not the design of it. It's not the architectural finishes of it. It's not the accoutrements that you place inside. It's not the ceiling height. It's not the moldings, et cetera, et cetera. It's the foundation. If the foundation is inferior, listen, ladies and gentlemen, carefully. If the foundation of that building is made of inferior materials, if the foundation is not poured properly, with the proper depth and the proper breadth, with the proper materials in it, if it is not installed correctly, you have a building that will, in fact, begin to crack and to decay and to fall apart, and if left alone, will ultimately collapse and be untenable. This is true also, ladies and gentlemen, of an individual's life. It's true also of our country, and it is very, very clearly stated, very succinctly and clearly stated in Psalms chapter 11 and in verse 3, where the scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And it's speaking of, ladies and gentlemen, the foundation, the underpinning, that which holds our nation up, that which holds a individual nation or individual city or an individual home. It's what holds that home up. It's what holds that nation together is the foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, recently, our Vice President, Mike Pence, spoke at Taylor University in Indiana. Vice President Pence is an open, avid, sincere, unpretentious Christian. Now, what does all that mean? It means that he's not ashamed of his relationship to Jesus Christ. It means that even in his position as vice president, he is not going to in any way shirk his responsibility to be the witness that God would have him to be as a Christian. And he does that. He is pro-life. That means he is against murder by way of abortion. He is anti-abortion, if you will. As a Christian, Vice President Mike Pence is against the LGBTQ standard for morals. Ladies and gentlemen, there was an upheaval that I don't believe I would have ever thought would be potential or possible in a so-called Christian university. Franklin Graham, in fact, wrote a piece about this on his Facebook page. Franklin Graham, title of this article, Franklin Graham absolutely slams Taylor University students attempting to uninvite Vice President Mike Pence. Now, this was before his actual graduation speech at Taylor University. Evangelist Franklin Graham finds it hard to believe that there are students and alumni at Taylor University in Northeast Indiana that don't like the fact that Vice President Mike Pence accepted an invitation to speak at the college commencement ceremony. Vice President Mike Pence to Taylor University and giving him a coveted platform for his political views makes our alumni, faculty and staff, current students, complicit in the Trump-Pence administration policies, which we believe are not consistent with the Christian ethics that we hold and love so much, one student, one faculty member said. Ladies and gentlemen, I could speak for an entire day on this subject, and I'm going to try to keep it truncated for us to succinctly understand what's happening in our nation today with the crumbling of our foundations. This article says Mike Pence is coming to Taylor graduation. Is the class of 2019 ready? Taylor University recently made national news with the announcement that Vice President Mike Pence will deliver this year's commencement address, spurring backlash from students, alumni, parents, and faculty. Quote, this is not the only political clash to put the small evangelical college in the spotlight. Last year, an anonymous newspaper titled Excalibur was created and distributed by a group of Taylor faculty who wanted to take a stand against the increasing liberalization and that they perceived to be taking place on the campus. Ladies and gentlemen, simply put, there's a major fault line, a divisiveness, a dividing line, a foundational crack at Taylor University. Some of the faculty had already witnessed the move to the left of the scriptural standards for the school. And they'd already had the opportunity to publish in a kind of a, if you please, phantom newspaper articles for the school not listing the students or the faculty, taking a stand against the increased liberalization there on the college campus. And then when Vice President Mike Pence is chosen as the commencement exercise speaker, then that opening became greater and more visible on a national level. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about our crumbling foundation. Now listen very carefully. Let me give you a little historical overview of Taylor University, and then I'll get back to the point and wrap up the loose ends for our listeners today. I'm concerned about where we're going in our nation, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, and what we do in our colleges and universities as Christian institutions will make a difference in this generation, not only this generation, but for generations to come. Taylor University is a supposedly Christian university. The university sits on a very impressive 950-acre campus. Taylor has 1,910 undergraduate students, 108 graduate students, 524 distance learning students. And the stats about Taylor says this. As we look at the stats in relationship to Taylor University, and we look at what they would call a mission statement, what would be considered a mission statement for any university or any school, any institution or church, generally would be this. This university, Taylor University, has this, and it states it very clearly in their guidebook on who they are. Quote, being a Christian institution, academics and programs are biblically anchored and centered on Christ with a focus on the integration of faith and learning, end quote. Now that's a powerfully foundational, fundamental, strong statement. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply tell you why that won't work at Taylor University or at any other liberal arts school in America. Listen very carefully. Any school, call itself Christian if you like, if it is an institution that is federally accredited, if it is an institution that is accepting federal funds for their students for tuition, that institution is no longer a free institution to teach and preach and say what it would like to. Listen very carefully. Taylor University, as a liberal arts school, even though it claims to be a Christian, liberal arts university, they accept federal funds for student tuition. And as such, they cannot, by law, they cannot receive federal dollars and require a student to be born again to be enrolled in that school. Now, perhaps you did not know that. That's a fact. If that school accepts federal dollars, you cannot, as the federal government says, you cannot discriminate against a student. Any student that passes the entrance exam, any student that meets the requirements of the school, with the exception of, if there is that caveat that says you must be saved, you must be a Christian, you must have an evidence of being born again, they cannot require that for a student. They might have it in some lackadaisical, mamsy-pamsy fluff in some statement, but they can't require it for entrance into the university or the school. Taylor University was founded in 1846, founded by the Methodist Church, initially as an all-women's college. In 1992, Taylor University acquired Summit Christian College, which was previously known as the Fort Wayne Bible College. That gives you a little brief blurb, because the fundamental foundational basis of Taylor University supposedly is Christian, howbeit they have multitudes of denominations. But the bottom line is, the question must be asked and answered, is Taylor University truly a Christian university? Let me just simply enter this statement, ladies and gentlemen. Across America today, most of our former Bible colleges have become liberal arts schools under the banner of being a Christian liberal arts school. A Christian liberal arts university or college happens to have a department of religion, but they teach all of the other courses in school to be everything that a person would want to be. I call it doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, what it may be that you're training for. You might be training to be a nurse or a doctor. You might be training to be a lawyer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing wrong with that. But if all you have is a department of religion, it becomes so mamsy-pamsy watered down that nothing can be theologically doctrinally solid, because you have so many different denominational preferences that's entered into the faculty and into the staff and permeates the student body. And therefore, you're going to alienate somebody if you teach the truth of the Word of God. So what is the focus of what I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen? Why do we need to know the basic history of Taylor University? Simply put, what initially started as a Bible college, a place where the Word of God is the foundation, a place where students are taught the Word of God as the foundation for all of education. It is the very bedrock of our educational system, and the most important, that is the Bible. It's the most important foundational part of an educational system. It is the fundamental foundation of having a biblical Christian worldview. But ladies and gentlemen, in 1996, an individual that used to be on the old radio Bible class of years ago, Woodrow Crowell, wrote a book in 1996 called The Vanishing Ministry. And Dr. Crowell's book on The Vanishing Ministry, I'll never forget it, read the book several times, underlined, highlighted, marked, and made remarks on the margin in the book, a little paperback book, probably 125-130 pages in breadth. But Dr. Woodrow Crowell said, and I quote, and he was dealing with the issue of what Bible colleges were initially and what they've become today. Keep in mind, this was written in 1996. Woodrow Crowell said, ladies and gentlemen of the official boards of your institutions, go back to the basics and the charter of your schools, your universities. Look at the mission statement. What was the purpose of the institution at its initial beginning? And he was bringing it to the head, ladies and gentlemen, because most of these former Bible colleges, just as Taylor University, formerly and a portion of now the Fort Wayne Bible College, started off as a Bible college for women. And it's morphed several times down through the years. And today, it is a liberal art Christian, so-called liberal arts university, with a department of religion. And Dr. Crowell was talking about that in his book, The Vanishing Ministry, because in that book, in 1996, Dr. Crowell analyzed several of the liberal arts universities and colleges across America. At that particular year, one of the schools had a graduating class of about 500. Less than six of those students were planning on going into ministry, planning on going into some type of ministry. And only three were planning on going into pulpit ministry. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what used to be a Bible college in America is no longer a Bible college because of federal dollars and the grappling for federal funds in order to build larger buildings and to get a larger student base. We have forgotten the purpose of the institution. Therefore, we're training those in an incubator of what is believed to be a Christian system, and it's simply giving them a worldview that is less than a biblical worldview. Ladies and gentlemen, the fundamental foundation of what ought to be taught in a Bible college or a Christian institution ought to be the Word of God. Just as in the Taylor mission statement, being a Christian institution, academics and programs are biblically anchored and centered on Christ with a focus on the integration of faith and learning. Wonderful mission statement, but it's not happening. It's not happening. Ladies and gentlemen, yet when Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, came to Taylor University to speak, he was mocked and shouted at, demeaned and denounced for doing so. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you have mixed in the Taylor University student body and faculty. In fact, the fomenting and the permeation of the fomenting for the students to be involved with the rallies and their demonstrations against Vice President Mike Pence came out of the sociology department, where the sociology department professor helped them work up signs, helped them to design placards that would be demonstrably against Vice President Mike Pence. Some faculty and students walked out when Mike Pence walked in. A huge visible and verbal demonstration against Vice President Mike Pence took place. Why did this happen? What was taking place? Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just read you blurbs of it. Dozens protest. This is the headlines. Dozens protest Mike Pence at Taylor University graduation in home state of Indiana. Mike Pence, you see, was the former governor of the state of Indiana. And so he was coming back home, if you will. This article says dozens of members of the Taylor University graduating class protested Vice President Mike Pence's appearance at the school's commencement as commencement speaker on Saturday, walking out of the ceremony just minutes before Vice President Pence spoke. Most of the nearly 500 graduates at the non-denominational school, Christian Liberal Arts School in Pence's home state of Indiana, yet remained seated for the Vice President's remarks. The article further states, ladies and gentlemen, Pence, the former governor of Indiana, received a standing ovation during his introduction as some students simply, summarily walked down the aisle and out of the auditorium. The protest was planned and discussed prior to Saturday's ceremony, reported the Associated Press. And it stemmed from Mike Pence's conservative religious views and his involvement with the Trump administration, end quote. Further, the article says, Laura Rathburn, one of the students now, Laura Rathburn, one of the student protesters, told the Indianapolis Star she was disappointed her school had chosen Pence to speak. This is what this snowflake, airhead, mush brain had to say, ladies and gentlemen. She said, and I quote, "I think his presence makes it difficult for everyone at Taylor to feel welcome." Well, what about the welcoming of Vice President Mike Pence? Did he feel welcomed? She further said, as she was making that statement, that his presence made some not feel welcome. She was wearing a graduation cap that she had decorated with the sodomite LGBTQ rainbow colors and a message that said, "Ally visible for those who can't be here," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, she was taking a stand for the LGBTQ community in direct response and direct confrontation of Vice President Mike Pence's stand against the LGBTQ as being ungodly, unholy, unbiblical, and immoral. A sodomite lifestyle is not biblical, and yet here's a student at a Christian university that stands to protest. Ladies and gentlemen, if that were my school, if I were there, she would be summarily dismissed as a student. Wouldn't be any matter. You can come back in, just be a good gal. That wouldn't be the point. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the problem, though. You realize in a situation like that, with Taylor University accepting federal funds, with state and federal accreditation, in order to have federal funds, they must have that stamp of approval by the U.S. Department of Education that says you're all right politically, and therefore you can get federal dollars. Accepting that, that university cannot dismiss, cannot suspend, cannot remove that student from the school. It's as simple as that. This article further says, Pence, an evangelical Christian, has come under fire over his opposition for same-sex marriage and transgenders and support for the conversion therapy for the LGBTQ people. In January, he defended his wife Karen's decision to teach at a private Christian school in Virginia that bans LGBTQ students and employees. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to ask the question about that Christian school, whether or not it accepts federal dollars. You don't have to wonder if that school that his wife teaches at is in a position where they cannot suspend a student or expel a student or a teacher, a faculty member, if they stand for something that's against the Word of God. They can, because they do not accept federal dollars for the students. Ladies and gentlemen, in South Florida, just a few years ago, a school with about 1,200 students wound up having to close because they accepted one sodomite student. And because they tried to expel him, the accrediting institution said, if you expel him, we're going to cancel the accreditation. And the leadership of the school happened to say, we cannot afford that because we'd lose the federal dollars for tuition. Therefore, they accepted the student back in the school. And as a result of that, half the student body left. As a result of that, 3 years later, the school had to close because of lack of funds, because they had taken a stand against the Word of God, I believe, is the reason God closed the school. These institutions have a choice. We're talking about the crumbling of our foundation. and it's a moral, ethical, biblical crumbling that we see taking place across America. These Christian schools, Christian universities, Christian colleges needs to get back to the fundamental foundation of why they were instituted to begin with. This article further says Christine Newman and her sister Marilyn Dodd protest Pence's appearance at the alma mater outside the commencement. Dodd had a sign saying, "Vice President does not stand for Christian values." I don't know where her Christian values come from. I don't know where her compass is, but it's certainly not on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In his address, Vice President Pence warned that it's becoming acceptable, even fashionable, to marginalize traditional Christian beliefs, and he called on his audience to stand up for their religious values and not allow the world to press them into the mold of what the world says, does, and believes. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please. We missed that one. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say this very, very clearly and very succinctly. In a Christian university, we need to stand for the truth of the Word of God or it's no longer Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, a very simple reason that Vice Pence is a Christian is that he believes that abortion is murder. He believes that LGBTQ agenda is immoral. Yet students and some of the faculty at Taylor University believes that Vice President Pence is not a Christian in their statements. And may I say, one of the major mantras that the demonstrating crowd at the school had was that Vice President Pence does not exhibit love. He does not love people, they will claim. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we can love the sinner and hate the sin. And what the sodomite community, the LGBTQ, and others are wanting to do, they're wanting the Christians to embrace them, to accept their sin, and say, "You're okay." Now, not too long ago, I had a dear lady that's a Christian said, and she was talking about her brother that's a flaming sodomite married to a man. And she said, "He's a Christian. Can't that just be his sin, just like some people overeat and that's their sin?" Absolutely, unequivocally not. That's the only sin in the Bible where God destroyed two cities as a result of the sodomite lifestyle. That's the only sin that's found in the Scripture where it says, "And God gave them over to a reprobate mind," in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. Ladies and gentlemen, in a Christian university, a Christian university that's standing for the truth of the Word of God will stand for people like Vice President Pence. Our vice president challenged the Taylor University graduates to stand up for their Christianity and not bow to the standards of the world. As we are confronted by the actions and of the faculty and the student body at Taylor University, we must ask the question, who's right? What is the answer? What must be the standard? Here's an article that says, "Disgruntled snowflakes pitch hissy fit over Mike Pence's speech." And he goes on to talk about 40 disgruntled snowflakes that the leftists and the leftist faculty members pitched a royal hissy fit after the Indiana Christian University refused to rescind Vice President Pence's invitation to come and speak. He says, "I think we have adequately established the fact that these hateful, putrid snowflakes behave like a bunch of ill-tempered heathens," is what this one particular writer said. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, we must stand up. Here's a headline that says, "Mike Pence urges Taylor University grads to stand up for Christianity as dozens walked out." Here's another headline. "Who's doing Christianity right at Taylor University? Pence invitation highlights the evangelical divide." Let me read you a little blurb from that. We'll close our broadcast. But listen, this article says, "So much like evangelicalism in America, the Christian liberal arts schools, which always has prided itself in welcoming diverse Christian perspectives, has in recent years found itself engaged in a battle for the soul of the movement." Why is that so, ladies and gentlemen? Because of federal dollars. And it is a matter, ladies and gentlemen, that we're losing the foundation, we're destroying the foundation, because we have forgotten the fundamental foundational guidebook is the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air, even tomorrow, as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. G. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.